Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Trevor Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So, Sophie White is back in studio. She's written a new book. She's going to tell us all about it. But she's also here to tell us about some of the mad stuff that came up in the research. Sophie, mad stuff that came up in the research. You said you had a 9-page document and you've whittled it down. So a lot of mad stuff.
A lot of mad stuff,
about
yeah.
What in particular?
Well, okay, so the book's called The Snag List. And it's kind of about three women who become friends, kind of bonding over the snag list for their builder. And then they start talking about all of their sort of life snags, the stuff that they never did, the regrets, and the kind of whole thing of the book basically is that one of them decides to set up a business where she tries to like life coach people through all of their regrets and help people to go back and do the things they left undone. I don't know. Relatable? I'm deep into my 30s, okay, so obviously I'm made of regrets.
Yeah. I'm feeling this.
So basically, the gal who decides to set up the business, her name is Lindy, and she is kind of on the run from her current career with very good reason, because Lindy is like CEO of her son's YouTube channel. So her son is 11 and he is like her boss and her employee, and it is messy.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's hard enough parenting an 11-year-old, never mind like managing them. She's like a momager.
Because this is very common now. I mean, you see these YouTuber families. So then you went down a rabbit hole of YouTuber families. Is that right?
Totally. Because so I live in a house with like four other people and then all of these YouTube families. Those people are just like the constant background noise of my life, because my sons are like 8, 5. And two, even the 2-year-old looks like he's getting hooked on it. And I'd be sitting on the couch beside my oldest son particularly, and I just would watch him watching these YouTube families. And like, I was like, oh my God, this is like a cult. I'd see like them on the YouTube, you know, these like peppy dads and like kids, and they're like playing with toys or they're like pranking each other. They're just like vlogging their every moment. And I like, basically the idea for the book kind of kicked off when my son turned to me one day and was like, can I start my own YouTube channel? And my blood ran cold and I was like, no, but I have to come up with like some really solid reasons why not. Because obviously it's like, oh, I don't know. It's a very ethically dubious area.
It's really addictive telly. My kids, I started watching a program. It kind of the same of these twins that their mom just does weird stuff, just does games with
weird
them.
Stuff.
Not, you know,
I
weird
mean, to
games.
Be fair,
weird games.
I mean, weird stuff does cover it with a lot of these
it
YouTube
does,
families.
But it's a lot of opening toys on these YouTube.
Yeah.
A lot of kids opening toys, and it's basically you're basically just watching an ad.
A full on 24/7, 365 days a week kind of ad. And like these YouTube families are massive. Like some of these channels have like 19 million subscribers, and like they could be taking in like about 6 million a year in ads alone. So basically, you know, the platform is YouTube, and YouTube kind of like puts ads on their videos and they get like, you know, a nice little bit of cash for every ad. And the money they make is like all kind of, you know, dependent on how many views they get. And obviously, I mean, they're getting incredible views. Like there's one family, their channel is called Toy Freaks, and they are freaks. And they have, well, as in like, this is one of the family channels that does a lot of pranks. And this is where you have parents pranking their kids. And like some of the stuff is just like off the wall. Like dads filming their little girls, like screaming with fear.
Oh,
and
God.
I mean, bodily fluids. It's so inappropriate. And that channel has 8 million subscribers. Total views of 7 billion across all of their
insane.
Videos.
That's
like,
insane.
Last November, they had 279 million views alone. I mean, it is crazy. Like, that family is estimated to be making between 70 grand and a million a month.
Oh my God.
And like, so it's really, really bizarre, because it's perpetuating this like kind of culture of like, I mean, tormenting your kid for views, kind of. I mean, that sounds judgy, but like as I went further down this rabbit hole, I was like, I think I'm okay to judge. I'm going to judge some of these YouTuber families, because their stunts are troubling.
Okay.
And Also, let's not forget, like, none of these kids, there's no like legislation. Like, these kids are basically child labor, you know.
And so it's a free for all. There's no regulations in place for them.
No, like, okay, you know, if you've got a kid on an ad or a kid in a film, there is like loads of controls and just monitoring of their well-being.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've got like my top three, like, most bizarro YouTube family stunts. And like, I might just add, it was hard to find three families whose stunts were not just deeply upsetting to hear about.
Okay.
These are like on the light end.
Oh, go on.
Okay, so first off, we've got a family called LeBrant, the Brants. And they, in 2018, faked evacuating from their home due to a wildfire. So there was like Californian wildfires raging, like some of the worst in the state's history. And the wildfire was called the Holy Fire. And loads and loads, thousands of people were like evacuated from their homes by, you know, emergency services. Okay. And in August of 2018, this couple, Cole and Savannah, they're very like, you know, typical YouTube family, very blonde, very Christian. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
And they have 6 million YouTube subscribers. And basically, they did a whole vlog. The vlog was titled, all caps, "We left our house because of fires in California." So obviously, people were like, zoom, click.
Yeah.
And the whole video kind of showed them texting each other, talking about how the fires were right beside their houses, cutting to video clips of the fire, which seems a little bit like maybe B-roll or something that they were getting off. I mean, because it, as it transpired, they were in no way evacuated like by emergency services. They had absolutely cooked this up for views.
Wow.
Like neighbors, internet sleuths who were watching their video, basically they noticed that the evacuation coincided exactly with the couple's 2-year anniversary, and that they had left their home to go on a lovely trip to San Francisco, which is also chronicled in the video. And basically all of the sleuths were like, wait, this is convenient. And then that kind of prompted people to ask questions. And then the couple's neighbors started to tell Fox News that nobody was evacuated and that they were exploiting the situation. And
really teaching their kids good family values here.
Okay, speaking of teaching your kids good family values, good ethics. Okay, next up we have a YouTube dad who faked his kid's death twice.
Oh my God.
For YouTube content. So at the first video, he pretended to just throw his son off over a balcony. Like, it's hard to even say
no.
This. Isn't it?
Really?
Yes, it was a dummy, okay? But he videoed this kind of playful wrestling match, and then it ended in this horrifying scene playing out where it appeared that he was throwing his child off a balcony to trick his wife. It was a quote unquote prank. The wife freaks out on camera, understandably. She sweared at him, which actually seems like too little a reaction,
yeah,
if you ask me.
Yeah.
And then he went on to do it a second time. Obviously, you know, fool me once. but like, the fact is that the first video of the death faking garnered 56 million views.
And 56 million.
Yeah,
sickos.
which is huge money. This man is earning money for this absolute, you know, reprehensible act. And like, there is no repercussions.
No.
Like, he posted a new video yesterday. I just went to check on the channel and I was like, oh, they're doing great. Doing grand.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there are way more serious cases, I hasten to add, where children have been removed from YouTube families. But like I said, that is on like such the deep, dark end of things that like we just don't even want to go there.
But it's not, it doesn't seem to stop people, you know, wanting to be part of this world, and it hasn't stopped them from doing it and getting involved. And does it start off quite, you know, opening toys, and does it tend to escalate?
I think
because
it
they're
escalates.
Competing with each other, and, you know, the more views and they get greedy and all that kind of stuff.
And the money's turning their heads.
The money's turning their
heads. But now what we have is like, like a kind of generation of YouTube kids who are actually reaching adulthood now. Like, say this all kind of really started in earnest in the 2010s. And yeah. like some of these kids are in their late teens now and finally actually finding a voice of their own and being like, you know, I was hothoused into this career that like commodified my childhood. It's totally bonkers and really sad. We have a case only just late last year of an American blogger who is like a kind of a mom and a lifestyle blogger, and she has a 9-year-old son. And this like was really, this went viral massively on Twitter. Basically, she had a video on her YouTube channel that showed her 9-year-old son crying over their dog that was dying. And the video was posted to YouTube titled, "We Are Heartbroken." But then somebody noticed that at the end of the video, the camera kept running and showed her coaching her son to kind of cry better. And it's really disturbing. You can hear her saying, "Put your head more like this." Like, so she's directing this quote unquote scene, and she's saying, like, "Act like you're crying." And the son responds saying, "I am crying." And okay, she was like, "Yeah, I know, but go like this." And she kind of like mimes like wiping tears away and tells him to let the camera see his mouth. And like all the while, the son is crying for real. And then it's bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers.
It was an unedited video that went out accidentally.
Yeah.
And okay, was there repercussions for that?
Well, she disappeared off her channel for 5 months, and then she popped back on February. She did the kind of, it's almost like now become a kind of, you know, set procedure, you know, the apology video, then business as usual. Now she has said, like, she did obviously like apologize. She has said that she's ashamed, and she won't be featuring her son anymore, which is all really good outcomes. And like the thing is, it's, you do get a sense from her that she shocked herself in terms of how dark this went, how removed from like reality she'd become. So, I mean, that was all kind of fodder for Lindy's story in the snag list. Like, because obviously there's a lot of judgment about these, you know, how these families make their money. There's a lot of argument for the fact that, like, you know, they're commodifying their kids' childhood, but like ironically, they probably spend more time with their kids than your average working parent. But like, I mean, I still think the net positive does not, I mean, the net negative.
I go quality over quantity on this one with time with my kids. I really would.
I think that's smart.
So, okay, go on. What's the book called again?
The Snag List. It's out now. The perfect holiday read. I'm hearing from you, from readers that like they're loving it on their holidays.
Okay, perfect
timing.
Nice bit
of escapism. It's entertaining, you know. It's kind of gossipy. I think I'm always like after the juice when
you
I'm
love
writing.
The juice.
I love a bit of gossip. Love the juice.
Okay, well, Sophie White, thanks so much for coming in. And the Snag List is out now. You can go and check it out. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.